Welcome back, everyone, to The Zamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno, and I'm so excited today to have my good friend of the show, Sam, with me all the way here from Pennsylvania, right? Yep. You flew on in. Welcome to beautiful, sunshiny Seattle.
Always good to be here, and thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Tell the people a little bit about yourself, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Sam Basu. I'm one of the developer advocates working at Progress, and I guess I have a fun job. I get to evangelize Telerik products, which is loved by so many developers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was great, and we've worked a lot in the past. We synced up. We did some webinars together. We met each other at the MVP Summit again, and we're just talking. I was like, I got to have you on the show to talk about all the awesome stuff you guys are doing over there. So I know developers have been clamoring for some awesome new UI stuff. But you were interested, and you came out and you said, I don't want to just do UI stuff. I want to talk about kind of real-world mobile development. So I'm excited to see what you have in store.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we are pretty pumped about Xamarin, but I think when you start building your app with Xamarin or Xamarin Forms, you are going to have some real roadblocks.
Yeah, like normal development, right?
Exactly. You always got any app. So let's kind of dive into those roadblocks and see where Telerik UI controls can help you out and how you solve some of the generic things.
Let's do it. Yeah,
yep, absolutely. Yep. So common Xamarin Forms roadblocks and solutions. I mean, I love Xamarin Forms. And talking about real world, let me just do a little pitch. Evolve app from early last year. Yep. Beautifully done, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. So, open source. I'll put the link in the show notes.
All open source. Yep.
Yep.
All right. So Xamarin Forms, great way for you to have a single code base and target all platforms. Like, how cool is that? You can target not just iOS, Android, UWP, but also people forget that Mac and smartwatches and tvOS. Mm-hmm. All of those devices from a single code base.
Yeah.
And using your own skills that you have maybe built up over the last decade, C# XAML.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of that just translates over. All right, so how do you kind of go about building your app? There are some core things you need to strategize on so that you are being consistent. So first is how you get started, how you get the tools. And there are lots of things you have to kind of get started with, the tools. So make sure you have the IDEs ready. Choose your editors, be it I'm on a Mac here, but on Windows, get Visual Studio. On Mac, get Xamarin Studio or Visual Studio for Mac. Get the editors. I'll show you some templates on how to get maybe better started with your app. And then focus on some things about your app that you want to do, like how do you manage your data?
Yeah.
Most apps will not want to have data just on your device, because then you're not floating between devices and platforms. So see where you can use the cloud. You don't have to. It could be under your desk in a SQL server, but make sure it's exposed out as a service.
So, yeah, it's like, where does your data, is it coming from a RESTful service? Is it going to be stored on the device? Is it in some cloud? There's a lot of different clouds on there. Yep. I'm sure we've talked a lot about data storage on the Xamarin Show. It's always, almost to me, I don't like to start there, but then I always need to start there because it's like, oh, where am I going to shove this data, right? What's my model look like?
Because data is central to your app. That's what your app is showing.
Yeah.
So have a good strategy about data.
That's what I've always said. I like number four, right, is your list views. Because I always said in a lot of my sessions that I give is a lot of apps do the same thing. They pull down some data, there's a list of stuff, and you need to display it, and it's got to be fast and responsive and beautiful, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we want you guys to strategize on your data and what your app does, your app's functionality. And not worry about the features of the individual UI controls. Because your users are going to expect some things from modern UI controls and apps, things like gestures and stuff like that. Let us worry about those things. You strategize on your data and your app.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've always, whenever the requirement comes in, it's like, oh, I need this like bar chart or graph or this like advanced functionality. Like, oh, I got to go find it, or I can go find someone that's already done it.
Exactly. All right, so we'll talk a little bit about observables and easy data binding, because it's all XAML that we're talking about. I know we have talked about Prism and other things. MVVM really helps in Xamarin Forms apps, but you don't have to do it. Sometimes, I mean, I get developers who come to like a single day hackathon and get all stuck up on MVVM. You don't have to.
Yeah.
I guess code behind is fine. It's often the source of some memory leaks in .NET, but again, for smaller apps, just to get the app out there, that's a great way to start, and then you can kind of it's pain-driven development. You refactor the things that are causing you pain, then you reuse and you get it set up for unit testing and so on. I'll talk about the list view because, like you said, most apps need
lots
to display a collection of things.
Gotta
and,
have them.
How do you scroll? How do you display things? How do you interact with it? And then we'll talk about data persistence a little bit because you need to persist some data on your device because you might have a user walk into a plane, go lose connectivity. Does your app still function? Things like that. Yep. So we'll talk about some issues. And then sweat the little details, I think, for any app. I think this is important. Some of them are generic things, like how do you do page navigation? How do you organize your content? Because you might have 10 pages that make up your app. How does the user find those pages? How are you navigating between those pages?
Yeah, is it tabs? Is it flyout navigation? What's your kind of root of your navigation? I like how I did when I did the Evolve Conference app, right, on iOS, it was actually tabs on the bottom for the main navigation, but actually on Windows 10 and Android, it was the flyout navigation, master detail, and that was a cognitive choice that I made, which is that I kind of know how iOS users want their app to look. So I was like, even though it's shared UI, I was like, I'm going to handle the navigation a little bit different. Right. And I kind of like that you're able to do that, right? You're able to mix and match and say, on iOS, do this, or on Windows, do this, which is cool.
Yeah. I think it kind of boils down to, like, are you a Facebook or a PayPal? Can you have the same experience everywhere?
Yeah.
But most apps don't have that luxury. So let's customize to the individual app platforms where we can.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that, too,
So we'll talk about app life cycles a little bit, like when things happen and when you can shove things into and where your chance to kind of recreate the user experience. And then we'll kind of end with data visualizations because this is kind of big. There are some things that as a developer, you do not want to recreate by hand because it just takes a lot of time. Like if we spend a lot of engineering hours to come up with these UI controls, it doesn't make sense to reinvent. I've tried.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like I'm going to put a pragmatically create like all these little boxes and charts and try to visualize something, right? So why spend the time doing
that?
Cool.
Exactly. So this is kind of a whole plethora of things we'll talk about once we get into the demos. But just a real quick shout out, everything that we do is a part of the Telerik DevCraft suite.
Yeah, what is this DevCraft suite? I've heard this a lot of times over and over again, and I can see now it's Telerik DevCraft by Progress, right? So that's the main entity, and Telerik DevCraft is the product.
It's a product line.
Got it.
Right, so DevCraft is a family of products, and it includes about 23 to 25 different products.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we started with all-out.NET. This is primarily for .NET developers, everything from web, Windows, mobile, we have you covered. Whatever you do, productivity, reporting, you name it. But it's not just .NET, as I'll show you. We have kind of branched off to do a little bit of native stuff on iOS and Android.
Got a little bit of everything, right?
Exactly, and that has an important impact on Xamarin.
Yeah.
Yep. So when we're talking about Telerik DevCraft, if you head out to telerik.com and if you click on the little product dropdown, you'll see that we do a lot of things across web and desktop and so on, but that section here highlights all the mobile stuff we do. Because it's 2017, there are different ways of building mobile apps. If you're going web, go all out web. But if you have any .NET experience, Xamarin is the way to go. I think the boat has sailed.
You got WPF, you have UWP, you have WinForm stuff. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
That's what I kind of like, right? If you think about it is, I might need the Xamarin control right now, but what when I have to go do desktop development or I have to go create that website in ASP.NET or something like that, right? You have all the controls.
We have UI suites for everything you do.
You want to show us some of this stuff? I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Ready. All right, let's do this.
Before I jump in
excited.
Yeah, one real quick show.
Right,
if you're doing any UWP development, Universal Windows Platform, we had the UWP Windows team do a creators update.
Oh, yeah.
Our entire UI for UWP suite is now free and open source.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's free for everyone.
Very cool.
Okay.
All right, cool.
So go at it. Yes. Now, out of this entire DevCraft portfolio, the only two things that are native and not .NET are UI for iOS and Android.
Got it.
This is when you're building truly native apps on like Objective-C and Swift.
Native language native apps.
In iOS or Java and Android.
Got it.
Now, the reason this is to help is when we are doing Xamarin Forms or Xamarin development, the UI for Xamarin Suite actually uses those native controls. It's nothing we are making up.
Because Xamarin is native. So
exactly.
I always like to say that because truly anything that you could do in Objective-C, Swift, or Java, you can do in C# with Xamarin. That's like the line, right? That you can literally do it. To the point that you can just create those bindings and you can create better things on top of the work that is already out there, some open source project.
Exactly. So you write C# and XAML, we'll render the native UI controls behind the scenes.
Do it.
Okay. All right. So let's kind of dive into this and see where you can get started.
Yeah. We'll exactly. That's the always thing I always like to say is like, where do I go to just get it?
Yep. All right. So let's jump out of slides. We're developers.
Yep.
Too many slides.
Too many slides.
Yep. All right. So this is where you start, telerik.com.
Sure.
Right. This is where all of our product suites live. And then this is where I was showing you stuff about DevCraft. And then if you go into UI for Xamarin, that brings you to this UI for Xamarin page that shows you all the controls that we have for Xamarin Forms, Xamarin iOS, and Xamarin Android. They're beautiful, they're performant, they're rich. But don't take my word for it. We actually have demo apps on iOS, Android, and UWP.
Cool.
So if you go search for it, like this is the Google Store, search for Telerik UI for Xamarin.
Yep.
And actually play with the UI controls in your hand and see how they look and feel, right?
Yeah, so if you have a device, you can just take a look at them without even having to download anything.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Download the app on your phone and boom, check
them
out. Cool.
See how the like the side drawer behaves, see how the charts behave.
Yeah.
Check out the interactivity, the gestures and so on. If you are impressed, then come out and try it.
Got it. So this one here is the Xamarin samples. This is Xamarin form samples, I assume, or is it the, and then you could also download the iOS and Android one because they're the same controls in Xamarin,
Same
right?
Controls,
Very cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
All right, so let's kind of say you are starting off from here. How do you begin? How do you get Telerik UI for Xamarin into your project, into your app?
Because I've created a Xamarin file new, or maybe I already have a product or something like project to set up. How do I get it?
So the easiest way and possibly the crudest way is just hitting this big download button.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's just a free trial. It's just going to download a zip file that will have all of your controls, everything. There's nothing held back. It's just a 60-day trial, I think. But it's fully working with everything that you need. Or if you already have a Telerik subscription and you have Telerik UI for Xamarin, you can always go into your My account and download it from there.
Got it.
In both cases, we just give you a zip file.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. So if I kind of step out to my directory here, this is a sort of a sample trial folder that you get when you download. You get all the binaries for iOS, Android, and Xamarin Forms. You get some example apps. You get project templates and quick start foundations. These project templates, I'll talk about this in a little bit. This is also a great way to kind of get started on your app.
This seems cool. I like that. I like project templates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's kind of dive into this. So I'm going to go into Xamarin Studio since I'm on my Mac here.
Sure.
If you guys are into Macs, feel free to try a Visual Studio for Mac. I think the dev experience is about the same, but we'll see how what the future holds.
This is some preview today.
Yeah. I love Xamarin Studio. Yeah. So one thing to do is in Xamarin Studio, if you head out and go into your add-ins, remember I showed you, you get a zip file. In that zip file, there is a little thing called an MPAC, which is sitting right here. It's either a VSIX for Visual Studio or an MPAC for Xamarin Studio. So you simply say install from file, and you point it to that MPAC, and that's it. Okay. And then it's going to show up here under your IDE extensions. That's just a template. It really doesn't do a whole lot except for getting a nice getting started experience.
Yeah, I like that, though. I mean, so whether you're in Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio, you're going to have some nice templates to get started. And where do they show up at over here?
So there is nothing stopping you from just bringing the DLLs in by
manual.
Hand.
So if you already have a project, right?
Yeah. So we have a docs site, which is here at docs.telerik.com, and you can drill down into UI for Xamarin. So this kind of shows you how to bring in
put
the DLLs.
Put it in the show notes, naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. But this template here, it shows up here in the .NET, and this is the Telerik Forms app.
Oh, cool.
This is going to be a Xamarin Forms app, and it just has all the Telerik references built in. It's all ready. All the controls are ready for you to use.
Got it. Yep. That makes sense.
But you may not always start from a greenfield solution. What if you already have a solution? So for those, let me kind of step out of this and show you this particular app that I've been working on. So at any point of time, you can go in here and look into your preferences. And if you go look at your NuGet preferences and the sources, we actually have, we host a Telerik NuGet package gallery.
Got it.
So it's nuget.telerik.com/NuGet. So you set that up. The first time you use it, it is going to ask for your subscription just to make sure you have the product, and then it's going to pull the bits straight down to your project.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, so a lot of developers kind of forget that, and I forget often that you can that there is a NuGet, right? But NuGet is really just exposing like this like JSON or XML feed, and you can create your own. There's MyGet, you can just host your own here, for instance. I use that Veyor for a lot of my projects, and it'll actually just do an old feed for whatever you're doing. And so it'll ask you and prompt you for your username and password.
For the first time, right? Yes.
And that's NuGet is so cool because it makes it so easy, right? You're just like, oh, I'm gonna add a package. Where from? From Telerik.
Exactly. Right? So you simply go add package on your PCL project or your iOS or Android project. Make sure you're pointing to our NuGet directory.
Yeah.
And then you just search for Xamarin.
Boom.
And right here is Telerik UI for Xamarin. It's already pointing to the latest build. You could go back versions. I don't know why you would, but you could.
You could.
And then there you have it. It's just going to pull down everything that you need right here in references in your from packages. That's going to be all of the Telerik
bits. Easy peasy.
Yep. That's like how easy it is.
Cool.
All right, so let's kind of look at a sample app and talk about some of those real-world developer roadblocks that we were talking about.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm a bit of an aviation enthusiast. Okay. I love flying. I love planes.
Yep.
If you are ever flying internationally, check out the Airbus 380, the double-decker, beautiful plane.
Oh, yeah.
Or the new the Boeing Dreamliner.
Oh, yeah. One day.
Airbus 350, beautiful. All beautiful planes. But the rich and famous don't travel the way you and I do. They have private jets.
So they're not in economy class in the
back?
No,
they're not in
economy
class, yeah.
That's how I do it.
So private jets are very cool. Mm-hmm. They're expensive, but they're very cool. But they come with lots of concerns that the backend folks need to kind of worry about. So I used to work for a private aviation company.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Nice.
And when you're flying folks like Hollywood superstars or sports people, you don't want your software to crash their application.
Yeah, so that's true. Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of my little proud moment of a software developer. Like, we used to make dispatch software that used to run some of these small planes. So
got it. Cool.
I still have my aviation, I guess, fondness. So this is an app that shows you some of the business jets and some supersonic jets.
Oh, cool.
And stuff like that. It's just very simple, but it kind of shows you some of the roadblocks that I'm talking about. So first thing is data about any app. What is the data that you're trying to show in your app? So for me, the data is about planes. What are these different types of planes? What are their speeds? How many passengers can they carry and so on? So you can host your data anywhere. It could be under your desk, like I said, but hopefully it's in a cloud service. So it's shareable across apps between mobile, web, or even desktop, right? So for me, I chose to put it on the cloud. Again, you have Azure, you have Amazon, you could literally put
Tons of great services out there, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I just put it on our cloud, which is a platform.terraria.com, which has a mobile backend service.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which has, which has everything that I'm looking for. It has push notifications and user sign-ons and things like that. But for me, just the simplest way is to just host some data here. And all I have is a type, which is just a table, right?
Okay, cool.
So just business jets.
Table storage.
Yep. Nothing fancy, just relational business storage. I got some files and some aircraft names and so on. And this is a RESTful service, so I don't have to do anything. I don't have to expose the service out. So each backend service has its own API key. So if I can go off here into this URL, I have a specific API key for my app.
Got it.
And then I get JSON out.
Okay, cool.
So nothing fancy. It's just JSON straight out of my table.
Got
this
it.
Is just like SQL table running on the cloud. So that's my data.
Yep.
That's where I'm going to pull from. And it's not just for reads. Obviously, it's full on CRUD.
Got it.
So I can write back, I can do edits, I can delete, and so on. So that's my data. That's what I'm trying to pull in. So let me actually go ahead and run this app so you can see it. Now, everything I'm going to show you today is in a PCL. Right,
cool.
So there's nothing platform specific. I only have an iOS project here, but I can have an Android project. Some people actually forget that you can take a solution in Xamarin Studio as is, move it to Visual Studio. It's the same solution file. You can just add the Windows UWP suite.
Yeah, add the Windows one. You could even, you know, create older projects. You still need to support WPF and, you know, to create the UI there, which is really cool.
Yep.
Add a Mac project here. You can add do all this stuff, which is really awesome.
Exactly.
Although I always tell people, like, you know, is that's why I always fall in love with Xamarin. It's like I can literally do anything, right? If you want to do, like you were saying, a watch application or interact with different services because you have access to those APIs. Cool, here's a little iOS simulator. Beautiful splash screen, that's what I like to say. I designed those myself, they look very similar.
All right, cool. So super simple app. It's just showing you all the different business jets that my particular cloud service offered. Different capacities and stuff like that. It's just all fun to kind of look through what these business jets do. So this is just data coming straight down from the cloud. So let's kind of talk about this first, like how did we get here? So first is I need to get some references in, and one of those things I have in here is something called a Telerik EverLive. Let me see. It's not in my portable
library. No, it's right down the very bottom.
Yep, right here. So our cloud service has an SDK, so you can use it from JavaScript, you can use it from .NET, Java, you name it. It's just a wrapper over everything RESTful.
Okay.
So having that lets me just pull in data really quick, easily.
Got it.
So I have a view model here, and let's go into the view model. So essentially, that's my key, and then I get a handle to it, and all I have to say is, hey, EverLive, go ahead and go and get the stuff that I need. So get all. And do it asynchronously.
Cool.
So that one line just lets me go and pull down everything that I have from that table, and it's just going to bring it down and put it in a collection here. And you really want to do things in an observable collection. This is what lets you have that two-way data binding. So it's one object collection that you hold in memory, and you bind your UI to it. Your UI could change the object collection and vice versa.
Got it.
So this is what lets me do CRUD operations really easily, so I don't have to worry about it. So this is the one, like, get all to get all the records, but I can say, delete this one thing, or go ahead and edit that one thing.
Got
it's all in that collection.
Sure.
And this is what I'm going to bind to. So it's one collection here, and then in my view, which is the first view that you saw, that's just my home view. So if I dive into that, I'm using a Telerik list view here.
Yeah, I see some special controls in here.
Yeah.
So I see Telerik primitives, and where did those come
from? Yeah, so these all come from the references that just put in. They're all right here in your packages. Now, the docs kind of step you through what references you need.
Yeah.
Some of them need specific renderers because we are doing some specific things, but not all of them. So this is like the one instance where you may have to jump into iOS or Android projects. In particular here, I'll show you the app delegate file in iOS projects. We do have some export renderers.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of setup code essentially. Yeah, often with custom controls or things like that, you need a little bit of things. And I can see here we're kind of newing up some things just to essentially for the linker. Because how Xamarin applications work is we shake the tree, and anything that is not being referenced falls away. So by referencing it here in the iOS project, it no longer falls off the tree.
Yep,
that's my best way of describing our advanced linker and compiler that we have. So that way your app doesn't get huge, it only includes what you need.
Yep.
Yeah, so cool. So these custom namespaces, the XMLNS, XML namespace, XMLNS, I always say that. You always have tons of them, point to...
This is just
live.
The assemblies, which you have just referenced.
Cool.
Right? That's all. So then you have access to all of these things like the RAD side drawer, which we'll talk about.
Okay.
But this one here is the RAD list view, the one that's just rendering my list of things.
It's a list view that's RAD.
That's RAD.
Got it.
Rapid application development.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just RAD in general.
It is also RAD.
Super cool. All right.
Now, notice here, I mean, you could do your data mining right here in your XAML,
but
you could also do other things. So in this case here, I fetch my stuff here. This is my view model. And then I'm explicitly setting the item source property of that list view to my collection.
You can do it either way, right?
You can do it either way, right? So you can go all out. Some people just like going all out XAML and have minimum stuff in your code behind, but again, suit your needs.
And it looks like in that home view that the RAD list view looks very similar to the list view. I see a data template. I see some cells in here. So what is RAD about it? What's different? Like, what am I getting here? Because that to me looked like a list. Blow my mind here, Sam. Hook
absolutely.
It up.
So again, it's a list view.
Yep.
And list views are ubiquitous. Like almost every app needs to show a list of something.
Yep.
But your users are going to expect things. Like first up, you need to have a completely customizable like template. So you can have an image, you can have whatever you want in each of the cells. But your users are going to expect swipe gestures, like left and right to delete or edit. You're going to expect like pull to refresh. Mm-hmm. So if there's stuff that's changing in the background, like news app, you want to have pull to refresh.
Got it.
Or the other thing is, if I go back to the editor here, is virtualization.
Yeah.
Not that we suggest, but if you do want to shoot yourself in the foot and bind your UI to like 500,000 records.
Sure. I do get that question. Like, hey, my app is a little bit slow. I have 10,000 items in my list. Well, 10,000 items in your list.
So we can't completely predict you, but we're going to try to.
We can try to, sure.
So we are smart, so this doesn't bind to all 100,000 records.
Got
it's
going
to be smart. Okay. Like as you scroll, there's a load on demand thing. So it's going to look into the first 100, then the next 200, and so
kind of like paging through it, essentially, and quick loading.
Exactly.
Like kind of when you scroll through, like when I'm in Gmail, it just kind of scrolls and loads on demand. Yeah. It knows that they're there, but it doesn't need to put them all in memory.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that this is always very smooth flowing in terms of scrolling and so on.
Okay.
And then you get things like, so if I kind of scroll down here, and if I go all the way down to the bottom, you're going to see that it's trying to pull in another extra aircraft. And when I go scroll up to the top, it has a pull to refresh. And then I can slide out, do things like
Left.
Swipe. Yep.
Oh, fancy schmancy.
And then you can also like delete things and stuff like that. You can have borders, like this one is a single cell selection. So it's kind of showing a different selection color and so on.
Oh, so it's customizable selection color and template. Oh, very cool. That makes sense.
You can grab a single row off the list view and kind of move it. That's like reordering
stuff. Oh, you can drag and drop stuff around.
You can drag and drop.
Oh, cool.
And it not only changes the list view, but it's also changing things up in the collection behind that you have it amounted to.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so these are things you really don't want to recreate by hand because it's just built in.
Does this load on demand, like when it goes down to load, is that just like another cell type that's in there? How does that work?
Yeah,
that...
so it's got two modes. So let me show you the code here. So first up, this is what I was talking about. Like pull to refresh is just like one properties. Just set it to true, and then you get this event, like refresh requested. Anytime the user is doing the pull to refresh, you get an event handler to respond to, and
perfect.
You pull down more data. Is item swipe enabled? This is lets you do the left and right swipe. You can have your own custom template and respond to this stuff like that.
Oh, and there's like even parameters here. I see thresholds and offset.
Yeah, these control like how much the user is like swiping over before you respond and
so on. Yeah, so you really get to that, you know, for developers and those designers that are like, hey, I need it one pixel over to, you know, just, you know, you can fine tune it.
Cool. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is what you were talking about, the load on demand. You just have to set it to true. And then the load on demand is automatic or manual. Automatic is when we get to the bottom of the list and you keep scrolling, we will fetch the next set of things.
Nice.
Or if you say manual, then we'll render a little button for iOS, Android, and then you can hit the button to go get stuff.
Yeah. I like that.
In both cases, you just get a simple event handler to listen to and you go and fetch your data.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So that's the list view. Again, I mean, it's completely customizable with your item templates and stuff like that. This is like my swipe template, and you can have buttons in there.
Put anything in there.
It's just a placeholder. You can put anything
in there. Okay. So, yeah, because so you took the list view that Xamarin.Forms. The Xamarin.Forms has some right swipe, but they're just text, right? So literally, you can just put anything inside
there. Yeah, it's placeholder.
Because often, you know, your designers come to you and you're like, we need this icon, and I need this to be red or a certain color.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
so it's highly customizable,
really.
Yeah. Nice.
And it's very, very, very performant. That's the one thing
it's super virtualized.
Always try to keep on top of. All right, so that's just the list view. Let's kind of go into some other things. Like, okay, once you have pulled down this data, how do you kind of maybe store them? And this is not specific to our control suite, but let me just kind of walk you through some code here. So let me go into my view model here. You can have different ways in which you persist your data.
Mm-hmm.
I like saying that it's always a matter of choice. And it depends on the type of data you're trying to save. If it's like not relational, then use like file system access and go ahead and put it on file on iOS or Android. But if it's really like relational data and if it's not something that's very complex object type, it's like something like primitives in your objects, go ahead and use a dictionary to just kind of flatten it out as JSON and just slide it in. So Xamarin.Forms actually exposes this wonderful little thing called the properties dictionary. It's right off the application object. So go ahead and put it in there. It's going to serialize and put it in there, and you can bring it back like when your app comes back from on resume and so on.
Oh, so yeah, so you can rehydrate easily.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's one way. Another way is SQLite. Yeah. SQLite has a PCL compliant NuGet, which is beautiful because you're storing true SQL data cross-platform, and all you have to do is give them an access to a file path on iOS, Android, and Windows.
You're good to go.
You're good to go. And then the last is your NuGet package on settings.
Yeah, big fan.
Yeah, yeah. So you can shove things in similar things like
similar things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that for like all my settings page of your application. You have like booleans and strings and integers. Like, was this the first run of the application? Maybe it's an upgrade, so I pop up a dialog.
Yeah.
It's really nice. When I was a customer of Xamarin 4.5 years ago, that's when I created that NuGet. I created that NuGet because I needed it, and I was trying to handle settings across all these platforms, and like things like Xamarin.Forms weren't out yet. There wasn't like this magical properties dictionary. And to me, I really like just storing, like, I know where this is going. It's going into shared preferences, NS user, and it's that native feel. Right. I love the native stuff.
And, and this is what I think we all developers need to keep in mind. Like, when you're doing Xamarin.Forms development, there is a lot of help. There is a big community that's doing stuff for you. Go check out what's on NuGet. Go check out what's in the component store. Do not recreate stuff that's already been done for you.
As a .NET developer, we have this huge ecosystem, right, that's just available to us that we can pull in.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. So kind of let's dive back into the app. So one other thing is, like, if I click on this app, this is just a very sample, easy sample here, but it just takes you to another page. So that's like page navigation.
Yep.
You can do your custom thing, but I think what comes built into Xamarin.Forms is actually nice. You get a nice, like a navigation page, and it's like a leaf-o type structure, last in, first out.
Yep.
So all you have to do is in your app start, where your app starts up, instead of simply starting up on a certain page, you just say navigation page.
Yeah, wrap it in a nav page.
Yeah, wrap it in. Yep. And then on your code behind files, when the user clicks on something, you can say push async. So go to that page, it's going to push it in that stack, and then when you come out, you get these nice little back buttons, which are customized for iOS, Android. You can actually have your own icons, and you can customize the back button. But it's a nice little stack.
Yeah.
And what I like about these things is, like, the other things you can, like, we are kind of getting to how you organize your app's content, like how you present your stuff, right? So pages is one thing. Like, within a page, you can have different things like tabbed pages. I'm fond of tab pages. I know you use it a lot.
Yep.
So this is like a simple tab page. And what I like about these things is, if I may show you the tab page here, this is what a tab page looks like. It's just a tab page instead of a content page, and it has children.
Yep.
So any number of children, and all of these children could be other pages.
Yep.
I like keeping them all in a folder, so I know exactly So that's my details page, that's my image page, and they all point, the tab page just points to those other pages that they come and pull back up.
Got
right?
it. Yep.
If you're on iOS, you get some nice things like icon. You can simply say icon, and it just goes, looks into the resource dictionary in your iOS project and just grabs the icons.
Grabs it, yep.
Yeah. What's nice is like a tab page actually renders differently on iOS and Android. So on Android, you get it on
Material
the top.
Material design, proper on the bottom. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
So I noticed that you're inside of this magical other page. So there's this tab page, and inside that other homepage, you have this magical, like, is this, that master detail thing that I saw?
Yeah, just a little bit. So, like when you click on a certain business jet, I kind of take you to a different page.
But okay,
that's about it.
Okay.
I think, so this is one you were talking about. Like, once you click on a certain thing that's in your list view, mm-hmm. I can actually take what you clicked on, that as a reference, and just take it to this other page.
Got it, cool.
So, yeah.
All right.
And let me see. Yeah, actually, it's this one here. So navigation push async, and then I can just
push across whenever it's selected. So essentially, like that way, if you've used the list view gives you the same exact type of exposure.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. And I mean, there are little things that you have to kind of keep in mind. So when you're using a tabbed page, one thing that's interesting is they're all different pages. Mm-hmm. So how do you make them like share data?
Yeah.
Right? They're all different pages. You don't want new view models all the time.
Sure.
So one way of doing it, and this may not be the only way, is I use something like a singleton class. Mm-hmm. So there's only one instance of this view model at any time across the app. So all the child pages can just share one view model, and they share their data from the view model.
Got it. Cool. Yeah.
So that's one way of doing it. If I come back out here, let me show you a few other things. So what other ways can you have these pages of your app be discoverable? Mm-hmm. There are lots of things you can do. One of them is if I simply swipe over. Mm. That is a side drawer.
Got it.
It's super helpful because users intuitively know how to swipe from the left or right.
Yep.
And this has animations and stuff like that built in, so you can have it swipe over and slide over from whatever you want, different effects. And essentially, this too is just a placeholder.
Okay.
Right? It's just a side drawer. You can put whatever. You can do a full grid. You can do a button.
Whatever
you can
want.
Do whatever you want here.
And this is part of that Telerik UI.
Yes.
Is that because you have this list view, or is it something completely
It's something
separate?
Different.
How is this set up?
Different control. So if I go back here to the home view XAML, you'll notice that my rad list view, that the one that actually rendered my list view, that's inside of this thing called the rad side drawer.
So this is different than the Xamarin Forms master detail where it's like a slide out left. This is specific to the Telerik UI suite, so it's side drawer.
Yeah, and we're not binding your hands. This is just literally a placeholder that you use to slide in. You can render like at the hamburger menu if you wanted to. Yep, and then we give you different ways in which, like, so the main content is what shows up first.
Got it.
On your left.
Got it.
And then you have other stuff, which is like the child content, like the drawer content.
Is the drawer always on the right, or can you put it on the left?
You can put it
wherever
anywhere.
You want.
Anywhere you want.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I see some buttons. You just put whatever you want in there.
Exactly.
Whatever you
want. And
then
you navigate away to other pages.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah. So let me show you more stuff here. So if I go into this suite check thing.
I like more stuff. I like when people show me more stuff, and I like when I see cool, fancy things.
This is super simple, though. I'm just trying to show you the graphs.
That didn't come out of the box, right?
No. So one new thing we did just this last release is something called autocomplete.
It
sounds so basic, but it's actually not something you want to implement on your own.
I've implemented it by myself. It's not quite fun. Because it's like, all right, do I do a regex? Do I do like starts with? Do I do contains with? What about upper casing, lower casing?
Yep. So this one has, I mean, it's bound to that same collection of business jets.
Yep.
So I can search for things. So if I go search for things here, and this is completely customizable. So you can have images here in the suggestion template.
Yeah.
You can have images and whatnot. So if I go ahead and select this one and say max speed. So this one here is a gauge control.
Got it.
This one's a radial gauge. We are coming up with a linear gauge, but essentially it shows you like the value of a thing on a certain range of values. And you can have different gradients. Like I have this is like the max speed of the aircraft, essentially.
Makes sense.
Citation being a small plane, it goes much faster than some of the bigger jets.
Cool.
So this is a radial gauge. And this one in particular, we are actually rendering this through Skia Sharp, which is the Google 2D renderer.
So yeah, Skia Sharp's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the autocomplete, and then, I mean, just to kind of show you how this thing moves around.
Yeah, it's really cool. Not even just a list. I mean, I like that little kind of, like, name on there with the little X. It reminds me of, like, when I'm in Gmail or Outlook, essentially, you know, when I'm adding names in there, I could imagine you have this huge list of people in your filter. What I really like, though, is that it actually highlighted part of the word as you're typing.
Yeah,
that's the little details.
Little details. So you can do starts with, you can do contains, and it goes from there. So, and this one's not the best example, but you can have multiple selections. Like if you're doing like an email, you want to pick multiple people.
That makes sense.
So we can do that. Cool. So let me just show you how that is rendered. It's really simple. Here, if I go into this speed view. So that's the RAD autocomplete. It's real simple.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it has like the binding. It's binding to the jet name, and the completion mode is contains or starts with. And the display mode is either plain, like text, or it's token. Token lets you have multiple things.
Oh, cool.
Right? And this one is the radial gauge, right? The one that's showing you the gauge. Everything about the radial gauge is customizable.
Nice.
So you can have your needle look like whatever you want.
Cool.
You can have your ranges look like whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything is customizable. And a lot of these things actually do have MVVM support.
Oh, nice.
So if you're doing like commanding, bind it to your command. So you're not just doing things in your code behind.
And you could bind to like the property here. So when you select a different one, it automatically updates to a selected property. Very
and
cool.
you can like change the enabled and disabled properties that way based on other things in your UI.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So let me walk away and maybe show you like the supersonic jets. Like these are interesting.
Like
this is where you're going across like Mach speeds.
Got it. Yeah.
So just a quick example. Like these are like this is the MiG-25. This is the Lockheed Martin SR-71 Blackbird, one of the fastest supersonic jets out there. None of them are actually for public aviation.
Oh.
The only two that were public was the Concorde,
yeah.
and then the Russians had a Tupolev.
Oh,
those are the only two supersonic jets ever that flew passengers. Everything else is military.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So bars and charts.
Yep.
Again, these are things you don't want to create by hand.
Nope.
Because this is
do
just
not the, want to.
No,
yep.
you do, really do not want to. Because the performance of it really takes a hit when you move from device to device and the different aspects that every device brings into and the rendering engine and so on.
Sure.
So this one's just a super simple bar chart that's showing you speeds across like the Mach ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a pie chart. You can have different types of lines. Series, you name it. Again, the best way to sometimes look into these things is going into the docs repository.
Mm.
So, for example, if I go into the charts, you will see like each chart has like the visual structure, and
oh,
you can
nice.
Change
look
the legend.
Yep.
You can customize things, and then the chart types that show you here, here's a Cartesian chart,
mm-hmm.
different types of it. You can have pie charts. You can have line series, like you name
it. I like that it shows you what it looks like on iOS, Android, and Windows. So you get the look, you know, make sure you have the look and feel of each of them, and it should look, you know, the same. It's like, I want my pie charts to look the same on all of them, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Now a couple of things I don't have it in my demo app here that are useful. So we have something called a data form.
Mm.
So if you have a complex POCO object with properties.
Explain POCO real quick, because I remember when I heard POCO for the, I was like, I don't even know that.
Good old days.
Yep.
Plain CLR objects, I think, is what it was. Plain old CLR objects.
Got it.
It's essentially an object with properties.
Yep.
Right. So if you have an object, let's say a customer object, right,
mm-hmm.
and you want to present that thing on screen, you would ideally have to build up your UI on your own. Like, here's the customer name, a text box for that. Here's the customer's gender, like a little switcher for that, and so on. So it's just a long list of UI things that you build up, and then you bind it to your object list.
Got it.
You don't have to do it on entirely by hand. I think Xamarin Forms has something like that built in, but the data form is essentially a mapping between your business object and the UI.
Got it.
So we will map things based on the object property
the
types
type?
And give you text boxes, give you switchers and so on.
Is there an overview page on that one?
Yeah. Yeah, so this one kind of shows you what it looks like. So the nice,
got it, cool.
Yeah.
So like auto-build the UI kind of for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And the nice thing is you get like UI validations. So if you have, like if you're editing the customer's information, you want the name or the age to be like a mandatory field, you can have those UI validation checks built in.
Cool, and this is also great because it seems like literally anything here, if you want to learn about the data sources and layouts and validation, if you're using the RAD list view, for instance, just go in the documentation, read a little bit about it, you get nice visual cues of what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Oh, and back on the list view, this is the other thing that I like. So we have support for these things called layouts, right? So
mm-hmm.
what we showed was the standard layout of just a standard long-running list.
Yep.
But you can have things like in a grid format.
Oh, very cool.
So this is nice when you move the same control over to a tablet and you put it in a stack view, which is nicely flowing, and the list view just adjusts itself and it has more and more space to put your stuff in.
Very cool.
Right? Now, not all things that we do are essentially UI components. So we have these things called the zip library or the spread stream processing.
Hmm.
Let's just say your app is putting together like it's used in a field by your agents, and at the end of the day they want to send up a report back to the server.
Yep. Got it.
And you want to kind of package that up into one zip file and send it back. You want to be conscious of the bandwidth. So this lets you kind of handle zip files really easily.
Cool.
You can zip up everything you want and then unzip it on the back end or even unzip it on the front end.
So even though it's called UI for Telerik UI for Xamarin, there's also these nice little helps.
Yeah.
When we think about that global scale, some of the different things you were talking about earlier, put it in there. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So is there anything else in the app you want to show? Is the app going to be open source for
people? It is. It's already on open source. So if you just simply go up on GitHub and then find me.
Which we'll put in the show notes,
yeah.
Of course.
Yep. So it's just, let me kind of go back up here. It's the aviation thing. So it's
Perfect.
Already open source. You can look
awesome.
At the code.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So the bottom line is you are building a Xamarin Forms app. You,
yep.
You have to understand that you are dealing with top-notch IDEs across the board,
mm-hmm.
Windows or Mac.
Yep.
And you have a lot of help
yep.
from NuGet to Component Store or to specific UI controls like the ones we built. So the bottom line is don't get stuck.
Yep.
If you are having to reinvent the wheel, understand that somebody else may have already spent the time doing it.
Exactly.
Take a look at what's
it's out there.
Yeah,
it's super cool. I really like to see where developers and companies are really taking just Xamarin and Xamarin Forms to that next level because everything is capable and doable. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for being on the show. I really, really appreciate it. We'll have all the amazing details, the demos, the apps, everything like that in the show notes. I thank everyone for watching. Until next time, I'm James, and this is The Xamarin Show.
Thanks for watching, guys.